So this morning we're reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. You'll find that on the back of the piece of paper you got at the door. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told.
Hopefully you have that passage there from Luke 2 with you. We're just going to take a quick ride through there this morning, but let's pray. Father, please help us to know the amazing joy that is on offer from you at Christmas. Please help us to unwrap the precious gift that comes at this time of year. Amen. Well, at our place we have some different nativity scenes and some that are kid-friendly. So there's these guys. So they're the kid-friendly ones. And then we have sometimes we find these guys, they're all like this at night time. So we're like, do the kids put them to bed or something? But anyway. We also have some non-kid-friendly ones. And the fact that some of them are missing bits is kind of a sign that these are not kid-friendly. The shepherd's lost his crook, so I don't know where the crook is in our family. But do you know the biggest surprise about nativity scenes is that there are shepherds in it? And you might be thinking, gee, you got two nativity scenes and you're missing shepherds. You got ripped off. Twice, in fact. But what might surprise you is that at Christmas is the shepherds who were there. Now you might have dressed up as a shepherd in some sort of kids' concert, but they actually didn't deserve to be there. Sounds surprising? Well, we're going to have a brief look at this section of Luke chapter 2, which we've just read, to find out why. Well, shepherds were the outsiders of the first century. So mistrusted were shepherds that at the time of Jesus' birth, their evidence could not be used in a court of law. So shady were shepherds, some of the religious elite would not buy wool or lamb from shepherds. Why? It was stolen. That's why you don't buy anything from shady shepherds. An intellectual centre of the ancient world was here. This is ancient Alexandria on the Mediterranean. One of their own philosophers said, "There is no more disreputable an occupation than that of shepherds." And yet, who does the biggest announcement the world has ever seen get spoken to? Shepherds. Have a look in verse 8 with me. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, I know you're like, "Stu, we get it, we know. There were shepherds, there was angels, we get the whole story, get on with it. I have some roast lamb on at home for Christmas lunch. I did buy it, though, from some reputable shepherds, of course." But do you know how big this was? Do we really know what it was like for the shepherds? Well, with the wonders of modern technology, we've actually been able to regenerate a real-life image of those shepherds. I know it sounds amazing, but it's true. And this is a picture of them. This is an actual photo of the shepherds that the angels appeared to. They were outsiders. They were the ones you walked on the other side of the road to. They were the ones who were kind of like in Home Alone. They're the ones who rocked up on Christmas Eve and they cleared you out of all your Christmas presents. These guys did not make the top 100 list of who God was going to tell the Christmas plan to. These guys are the last people you would have expected to hear the news of the first Christmas. Now, you might remember that unique Christmas Eve when German and British troops laid down their weapons and took to the soccer field to celebrate Christmas in World War I. Imagine that. Being in your trench, all your comrades beside you, and then on Christmas, the most unexpected visitor turns up, an outsider, right in the trench next to you. You see, that's what was so unexpected about the shepherds. They were at the centre of the action when God stepped down from heaven to earth to let the world know what's the game plan. They were the most unexpected recipients on that first Christmas. The question is, how did they respond? Well, when God turned up, he stepped out of heaven and showed up to these bunch of outsiders. They were just a little bit overwhelmed, you could say. I listened to how Luke captures things. Three words do it in verse 9. They were terrified. You see at the beginning of the verse when it said, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Another way to describe this word glory is weighty. This is heavy stuff. Other instances like this in the Bible lead to people kind of having an IMAX kind of experience. You know, it's 3D, it's surround sound, and it leads to an appropriate jaw-dropping response. One of the Bible's most famous prophets, Isaiah, when he was faced with this weighty glory, he said, "Woe to me, I'm ruined." One of Jesus' besties, his name was Peter, he had a heavy experience when Jesus confronted him and he said, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And yet, even these outsiders, these disreputable type, these shady shepherds, they know what to do at a time like this. Be terrified. But maybe us Aussies know how to cut glorious tall poppies down to size. You know, if God turned up to Lismore today, we might be right. She'd be right, mate. Throw a few extra shrimps on the barbie. This Christmas, we're having the big fella at our joint. The shepherds just kind of need to, they just need to crack a tinny. They just need to calm the farm and be okay with this fireworks display of the glory of God. But what we do is we domesticate the God of glory. And often we do it because we have an overinflated view of our own glory. This is when we don't realise we've been outplayed. Since the start of summer, I've been teaching my boys how to play cricket, helping them to be true Aussies at Christmas time. Have a look at this. I bought in some show and tell. This is my 6-year-old's bat. How cute is that? It's like tinsy. I just had to buy it. I'm like, I've never seen a bat that little. Anyway, so what happens is in our family is I'm like, I'm just going to take the boys down to play some cricket. And my wife's like, you realise you have a whippersnipper and a mower with you? And I'm like, yeah, we just need to get the pitch, you know, around the pitch in good condition. And it's kind of the, do you realise that you're playing with a 6- and a 9-year-old kind of look? Like, are you taking this just a little bit too seriously? But I wonder if my wife doesn't understand my glorious cover drive. Okay, so that's this one, just boom. And then she's not really, she's never seen me play. She doesn't know that I have a great cut shot, just a massive just pull, just that's out of the ground. But when I play with the boys, I just feel like I have this experience of my glory days just flooding back to me. You know, as my 6-year-old, I'm just bang, just straight down the ground. And yet, when this guy turns up, things kind of get a little bit different. If you don't know who this guy is, his name is Mitchell Starc. He is the opening bowler for the Australian cricket team. You see, when he starts to charge in and bowl at me, what do? I fall to the ground, okay? You know, we might think the shepherds just needed to take a chill pill when God turned up. Just relax, shepherds. But I think we have this view of God is because we compare God to us. Or we compare God to, or I compare myself to the person in my campsite beside me, and they're very annoying, okay? Or I compare myself to my neighbours down the street on New Year's Eve, you know what I'm talking about. Or I compare myself to that family member who we kind of had to invite at lunch, but we didn't really know how we could get out of not inviting them. We seem to have an uncanny way of coming out of these dealings with people with an overinflated view of ourselves. And yet when the God of this world walks into our world, we ought to fall down. Because we've been outplayed and we flatten ourselves before this glorious and weighty and heavy picture. The cool thing about Christmas, though, is the message the angels bring. It's not just a sweet sound on the ears, it's a sweet message. A message of outsiders, totally outplayed, that leads to outright joy. So what is it that gets these shepherds to have this joy, 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 joy? It is the joyous news of the first Christmas from verse 10. Have a look at it with me. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be cause for great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." See, it's a message that says, look up. It's a message that says, you're not exposed. It's a message that says, even though you've been rightfully humbled to the ground, this is the message of joy. We've been outplayed. We've been overwhelmed by our lack of glory. We've been crushed by this heavy image. But the angels announce, this is a time for saving. This is a time for God's plan to cover shame. Christmas is a time when lies are cleared. Now, I'm not sure whether we're going to see this sign at the Melbourne Cricket Ground tomorrow for the Boxing Day Test, but it occasionally pops up in crowds around the world. Even on a quarterback's face, when this quarterback put that on his face in 2010, it led to 90,000 Google searches to what is John 3:16. Now, John 3:16 is probably the most famous Bible verse in the Bible. And yet the following verse, verse 17, probably should get a bit of a look into, so I'll read it to you. This is from John 3, verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." When Jesus showed up on that first Christmas, he was born as a life raft in a sea of condemnation, because none of us deserve to be in God's presence. We're totally outplayed. We are overwhelmed by the weighty and heavy image of his glory. But the good news is that Jesus came at Christmas not to sink us. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to rescue us, because God made the way that we could not make ourselves. There are two ways that people respond to this news at Christmas. The first is this one. Many of us, both those who are Christian and those who aren't, instinctively feel God should love them and agree with them on everything. Christmas should be a time that God sprinkles fairy dust on us and says, "Guys, you're great." Personally, I fit into this people group. Secondly, other people, both those who are Christian and those who aren't, instinctively feel God doesn't love them much. He's actually waiting for them to slip up so he can slam us. But the God of Christmas did not come to condemn you or me. He came to rescue us. For even though there is a charge and a sheet of sin on us, Christmas is a time to wipe the slate clean. The God of Christmas is the one who gives second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances and sixth chances and seventh chances and more than you can ever know. He will keep on forgiving you. And yes, all of us need it. So even us who need to wake up from our fairy dust and realise we're not as great as we think, you can experience God's grace. You can never run short of it, and equally, you will always need it. Well, those outsiders, those shepherds, outplayed, overwhelmed by the glory of God, experienced outright joy on that first Christmas. They heard about their Saviour, who at Christmas stepped down from the glory of God. He would die at Easter for the things that would stop us from entering the glory of God. Jesus came at Christmas to experience the most terrifying thing of all, being shut out of the presence of the glorious God of this world. God is gloriously perfect, and he won't have imperfection near him. So on that first Christmas, the perfect human took humanity's imperfection so he could offer men and women and children his own perfection. A week ago, there was a funeral for a local saint who lived a big life. There was a huge number of people out at Kyogle who came to see off Alf Jarrett. Some of you will know it was Kelvin's dad. It was obvious that many saw this man as a local saint. And yet it was quite clear in Alf's direction for the funeral, he expressly said he does not want to be remembered as a saint, but for people to see the Saviour whom he served. They said of Alf he had a rare gift. He was able to talk about cattle sales and then talk about Jesus in the next breath. How could Alf do that? How could it be so seamless when we see so many struggle? Well, as a young man in Bangalore, he had unwrapped the joy of Christmas. Alf discovered that the big news of Christmas created such joy in him because he had experienced his own salvation. And Alf wanted others to know about it. And if you were there at the funeral and heard the eulogy, you have heard there were many outsiders who were part of Alf's life. And they came to know that outright joy of the Saviour who came at the first Christmas. And did you notice that's what happened on Christmas, verse 17? When they, the shepherds, had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning him what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. When the shepherds heard this joyful news, they went and spread the word about the Saviour. Do you think the shepherds had become reputable now from discovering this news, now that they were relaying it? No way. They were still discredited witnesses, and yet all who heard it were amazed. So this Christmas, even if you have a high opinion of yourself, this Christmas, speak a little bit less of yourself and speak more of your Saviour. And I take that as a personal rebuke. And if you have a low opinion of yourself, worry less about your view of yourself and view your Saviour and the joy he offers you to all you meet this festive season. Well, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our Father, we do want to thank you for the incredible grace at Christmas that allows outsiders to come in, because our standing lies not in our perfection, but in your perfect Son who entered our world at Christmas. We are sorry for the way we have such a glorious view of ourselves, investing so much energy in our inflated picture of ourselves, or energy and emotion in our deflated image and the downward spiral that brings. Please help us today to experience the outright joy of Christmas, that we are welcomed at your table by your perfect Son, Jesus. Please help us to reflect your gracious heart and life, and that we might experience the same sort of welcoming heart that motivates our lives and encourages us to open our tables too. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.